And good Friday morning, Friday, November the 16th, 2018, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. And we will kick off the broadcast day today here on WWGH Radio. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's kind of chilly out there. The snow's flying, and I hear the turkeys are nervous.
The turkeys must be nervous because we are 6 days away.
6 days away. It's sneaking up on us.
From the big turkey holiday.
Turkey holiday.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Most of the school districts I know in Marion now are out the day before Thanksgiving. But that didn't used to be the case.
No, not at all.
No.
We used to get, you're speaking of a little better break than that.
Yeah.
Larger break. Absolutely. You know, it's always been a, when I grew up, and I know a lot of Americans can relate to this, Thanksgiving was a day when all the family came together. The guys went out hunting, and the women stayed there and visited and caught up with each other and waited on the guys to bring back stuff they had to clean,
yeah.
Which wasn't always good. But, you know, that's still a tradition in some places. My grandsons, they all go out on Thanksgiving. I don't go with the group anymore because I just slow them down. And I don't like to hunt in crowds anyway. But anyway, they have a great time. They go out, and it's just a good time to be together and be family. And
well, I can't imagine because there are some stations around Ohio that changed to all Christmas format the day after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And with Thanksgiving coming so early this year, November 22nd, it's hard to believe that 7 days, when we do this show next week, there will be stations that will be on the all Christmas format.
And you know, less than a month ago, we were in summer weather.
Yeah?
I don't think I've ever seen our trees go from green to no leaves so fast. I mean, it's just been a couple weeks.
It was very warm, almost right up through Halloween.
Yep.
Then it changed. Then
instantly,
it changed.
And has not gone back.
No. But, you know, this, I think it's funny because October is supposed to feel colder, but it didn't. So this is about right for November.
I think so. Once we get used to it, and it'll be fine. You know, I worked out in it the other day. I was outside working, and it just kind of felt refreshing to get that, you know, that chill, and but yet work through it. It was kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's a lot going on.
Oh, there. Well, I know the Mistletoe Craft Show, which has become a staple in Marion,
mm-hmm.
will be going on at Harding, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I believe it's tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be great. We've got so much going on at the church right now. A lot of things planning for the Christmas season, and there's a Christmas concert that is in town that supports the Methodist preschool that will be at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Is that the 6th, the first Sunday, I believe?
Of December?
Yeah, I believe it is.
I think that's right.
But I know that's going on, and we're planning so much. You know, we have our Christmas drive and all that going on and trying to reach out and help kids. It's a great time.
The first Sunday in December is the 2nd.
Okay, then it would be the 2nd.
The 2nd. You know, it's really thrown off this year because with Thanksgiving coming so early, and I think this is as early as it can come, we still have a whole another week of November after Thanksgiving.
Yes, we do, and usually it's right there at the end. It sneaks its way in.
Right there at the, I believe last year it was more toward the end. So it's it used to be the last Thursday and Thanksgiving, but I believe now it's set up to be the next to last Thursday and Thanksgiving, or November.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that's kind of been on my mind this morning, it's been on my mind for several days, as I've talked with her, my sister lost her home in Paradise, California, and her daughter, my niece, and her husband and son lost their home in Chico, which is right up the road, basically. And I'm just gone. I mean, completely. There's nothing there. I'm sure you've all seen pictures. But, you know, as I think about Thanksgiving, and my wife reminded me to get a turkey out of the freezer today, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, all these people that are living in tents that literally, and Scott, we were just talking about this before we went on the air, they literally have lost everything they own. I mean, everything. You know, they got out with their clothes on. If whatever they didn't get out of the house with, I mean, there was no going back and searching through rubble for anything. That fire was so intense and so hot. If you look at the pictures, there is nothing left of anything. So, you know, family things that you think about over holidays. This is going to be a tough holiday for some people. It truly is.
It's very difficult because I think most people, not that it's an easy thing, but to lose a house, I think people can get through that. But in the case of fire and flood and things like that, it's the pictures, the clothes, the antiques maybe you've had forever. You know, that stuff's gone too. So even if you have great insurance and here comes back the home, you know, you have to go out and buy new furniture. You have to go out and buy new appliances, but you can't replace the memorabilia.
And there's such a massive amount of it that the wheels are moving slow, insurance and everything else. So a lot of these people are truly homeless. The ones that I really have a huge, huge concern for, I know that, you know, a lot of the people in Malibu and other places and in all those places have home insurance, and they will get financially repaired for the most part. But a lot of people, their jobs have stopped because they worked in those communities around them. And another thing is, not only have a lot of them worked around there that don't have their jobs, but a lot of these people rented, and now they have nothing. They don't have any home insurance coming in. They just literally, it's like all of a sudden being stripped of everything. But it's interesting. My sister told me, I was talking to her, name's Laura Whitaker. She told me, she said, you know, I don't know how the people here do it that can't lean on God. And she said, I'm going to be fine. She's 55 years old. She said, I'm going to be fine. She said, you know, God's brought me through this, and there's, you know, it's going to be fine. It's going to take time. The first night that she was out there after the fire, I talked to her the next day. I said, where did you sleep? She said, I'm sleeping in my car. But anyway, you know, it's just, you know, we think of all the things that we have to be thankful for. And this Thanksgiving coming up, and we certainly need to be thankful that we're not in that situation, and we need to try to think of ways. I really wish there was more reporting on what can be done and can't be done. For instance, I had a fellow call me yesterday, a friend of mine that was wanting to help, and he said, we so want to help, but we don't know where to send what, how to do anything, what's really needed. And that's a lot of the problems when these disasters hit. It would be nice if somebody could begin to organize help routes, I'll call them, routes of help. And then the news media could then, as they're on, you know, say this is where you call for this. And I've seen that in the past, that it will happen. But it seems that those wheels seem to be moving somewhat slower here for some reason. And maybe because part of it is fire's still burning. So there is, you can't go in the area. I mean, in past disasters, I remember when I went down, and we were just talking about Katrina a few minutes ago, when I went down and worked in mostly in Gulfport following Katrina. You go down there, and there was just line after line after line of church buses and church buses going down there, loaded with people and supplies to help anybody that could use it. And there are also miles of FEMA trailers being pulled down there, brand new ones for people. But, you know, this situation is, you know, a hurricane comes and goes in a couple days. This thing's been going on now for 2 weeks, and, you know, there's been no rain. The winds keep kicking up, so it's being added to constantly, and they can't seem to get ahead of the need there, and it's affecting so much of the state and so many people. This is a really, really major disaster, and I'll be honest with you, I've been quite disappointed in a lot of ways with our leadership in our politicians, that they need to put the partisanship aside. They really do. And come together with a comprehensive plan of how are we going to work together and help these people. I've heard, you know, in the last week, I've heard nothing but the same old rhetoric of the issues, the, you know, that's all they're still talking about. And I think it's a sad thing. This is a major event in our country. And, you know, we as individual citizens, Scott, you could decide today that, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to pack my car with every toothbrush and thing I can find to help people, and I'm headed there. It wouldn't do you any good. You can't get in.
You know, I was trying to remember what the event was, but it was September. I know the event was September of 2017, and I believe it was a hurricane. Certainly wasn't. Somewhere south, and I'm trying to remember where it was. I don't remember.
It was the one that came up the Gulf Coast.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember where it hit hard, though. I don't remember if it was Texas.
Yes.
It was Texas, I think.
It was the coast.
The coast.
Texas.
Yeah. And a minister here in town was getting a U-Haul, loading supplies to go down and do things. And he asked if we could give him some airtime, and of course we would give airtime to something like that for him to raise money. But you know, it was in the newspaper as well. It was everybody chipped in mm-hmm. Marion.
Sure.
But you know, the end result was people in Marion didn't respond to it because it wasn't happening in Marion. And it's an interesting thing when you mention, I mean, some was sent down. I'm not saying nothing was sent down. And he did raise some money by being on the radio, but it wasn't what he thought it would be if you get it out in the media and the newspaper and the Facebook and the radio. And it's a fascinating thing because the last show we did before the election was on the news media. And you're right about the politicians, but you know, this is one of those stark reasons where I think opinions on any kind of media are bad, because I think the reason we're not getting anything done, because whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, whatever you are, whatever kind of politics, whatever you believe, everybody gets behind the idea that people losing their homes are bad. No politician is going to say, oh, that's great, you lost your home.
Oh, of course not.
Right. But the problem is, and it constantly drives the issue, is that when you have people on television now, on news channels, who do have a particular bend in their idea, and people see them as news, if you do something outside of your party, if you meet the other person halfway, they will take you to task that night on the news, and then you are no longer there. And if you consider you're the best person for that job, I don't know what happens.
You know, I hear what you're saying. I do. And I just recently have seen that on that happen. We all have in the media with different people in the last several months. But you know, the thing is, at some point, Scott, at some point, as people, as citizens of this country, as we have to say, you know what? I'm willing to put everything on the line, but I, me personally, am going to do what is morally right and what I need to do above my own interests. And that's part of the problem of where we're at today in our country, I think. Another problem that I think we run into that's a huge problem is the more and more that we depend on government, the more and more people back out of the help and resources. Like, you know, I don't really need the help, but hey, look, I pay my taxes. We've got FEMA. They're there for a reason, okay? And the personal responsibility goes away. And I think the more that we have, you know, we lean on government to do these things, the less personal responsibility people feel they have to worry about for people.
Well, you know,
and that could be the Marion issue, part of the Marion issue, why Marion didn't come out and jump all over helping that situation in Texas.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because that's a chicken and the egg situation, I think. And the chicken and the egg is, if we stopped the government support, would all of a sudden people's morality kick in? And that's the problem.
The cat's out of the bag.
Well,
Pandora's box has been opened.
Well, but the sad thing about it to me is, there are groups that are not totally funded by the government, that cannot get a city to get behind them, that it only applies to the city and the county. And the one that I think of most recently is Marca. We have not passed a Mark a levy, and we vote on this. We have not passed a Mark a levy in something like over 20 years. And it failed again last time with high voter turnout. So it's interesting to me because when it fails, do people run down there and donate to Marka? No, they don't. And I talked to a person who works for Marka, and it's getting desperate down there.
I'm sure it is. I have a my granddaughter, Julia. We had Julia on the show that asked about it.
Yes.
You know, Julia spent 3 years there in their early childhood development at Marka. And great program at Marka. But I think that sometimes there's other circumstances that cause people not to vote for those things. I'm not sure why that is. I think it frustrates me when, once again, opinions are opinions. But, you know, we get behind what interests us. And unfortunately, I feel that a lot of times that people, if they don't directly have someone in their family that has some form of a handicap that Marka would affect, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind, and I'm not going to worry about it. No, I'm not going to, you know, and that's a sad way to be. You know, I think that we need to be very, very compassionate people. You know, in the Bible it talks about, everyone's heard of the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, there was a guy on the side of the road. He'd been, obviously, was physically hurt, and, you know, they're walking this road, and you know, the upper crust comes along, and they say, you know, this guy might rob me. Maybe it's a ruse. Maybe it's, you know, whatever the case is. But here comes this Samaritan. And quite frankly, you know, the Samaritans were looked down at and even called dogs. But he comes along and he picks the man up and he takes him. And I think that a lot of times people, when things are going okay, they don't even think about those kind of things. And it's not until it affects them personally that they really, you know, get into those things. But we've got to realize that, and I notice this when I've rang the bell for the Salvation Army and used the kettle out. It's very interesting. Now, whether or not people feel I give it the office or to United Way or whatever the case is, I can honestly tell you from doing that, the majority of the people that give the most, and it's an observation that just struck me one day when I was doing it, is that are people that appear to probably have the least. It's very interesting.
Well, it's fascinating, and this is why I think programs like this and other programs on this station are very important, because I think sometimes the top is just glazed, and the top is the program doesn't have the money. The top is we didn't meet our goal. The top is nobody stepped in and made up the difference. But there are a lot of reasons why this is happening, and I don't know. It's a strange society because people want to help. People are not cold-hearted. You know, if you went up to somebody and you were shivering, I do believe they'd help you.
I think they would.
But yet, they, in the bigger picture, they don't see it that way. They don't see the person shivering. It's almost a showing, not telling thing. It's different.
It's kind of an interesting thing you bring up, and it's a thing. I'm going to bring one of my pet peeves into this that fits this scenario also, is our unbelievably busy schedules that we have given ourselves. Everyone's plate is too full. And I don't mean everyone, but I mean a lot of people, they're just running in 50 directions. And, you know, even when it comes to the church, a lot of people, it's easier for them to give than serve. In other words, I will give to the church my tithes and offerings, but that, you know, that's so someone else can do it. And I'm not saying that's the situation in the church that I'm in, but I've seen it, and I've heard other pastors talk about it, that the money wasn't always the problem. It's finding the people willing to get their hands dirty. And we live in a society today that's running in so many directions. it's hard for anyone to get their hands dirty. And they would rather just pay someone to do it and move on and not even be think about those things. Look at some of the major issues right now that are affecting our country as far as taking care of needy people. We've certainly got all this stuff going on in California. We have, you know, the thing that's going on at the border, a lot of emotions going down to that border on both sides of it, a lot of emotion. And people just don't know which thing, you know, they just, sometimes when people can't decide on where they need to work, what they need, they just pull their stuff in. You know, they start batting in their hatches and closing the shutters and, you know, that kind of a thing. But I can tell people out there, and I think, Scott, you'll attest to this, that when you genuinely decide to help people and do something, people are always looking for energy drinks, those five-hour energy shots. I can't believe people do that. I see guys buy 5 and 6 of those a day and put them in their pocket. But anyway, you want a shot of energy? Give from your heart. There's something about it, and I don't think it's just something about it because, even in the Bible, Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And I think that when we help people physically, mentally, spiritually, tell them the truth of the gospel, love people, it does something different inside of us that takes the place of all those fake energies that we can jack ourselves up with. And if people would grasp that and realize, you know, guys, I'm telling you out there, ladies and gentlemen, I am not blowing smoke here. I have seen this happen over and over again where people start being more charitable and caring and loving, and all of a sudden you see them in better health, them in a better light, them in a better spirit, and that's what it does to you because I believe that's what we were designed to do.
You know, it's interesting. When I am in the car, a lot of times I think about things because when you're in a car, a lot of times there's nobody else in there with you. You might have the radio on, but you can choose to block that out or not. You are paying attention to driving, but you're not reading something out. There's not a constant distraction. I don't have a cell phone when I drive in the car. So a lot of issues come up. And I was thinking the other night when I was driving home, when it comes to this whole idea, because when you talk about the border and talk about the fires out in California and all the other issues we've got going on, you know, there was a time where there have always been bad things going on. Let's put it that way. We have not had a presidential assassination in this country, thank God, since the early 1960s. That's a good thing. We haven't had an attempt to wound somebody since the early 1980s, thank God. We've had people... Apollo 13, anybody who's seen that movie, that was a tragedy of event. We've went through Watergate and a lot of bad things, Vietnam War, things that were bad in people's mind. But, you know, it didn't seem to be such a fence-picking society. I think people still went to the movies. I think people still watched television. I think people still had their own life. I think people still went to work. It didn't seem to be such a society where everything had to be an issue. There's always been news, but it didn't used to be, even if you did, in your own mind, have an issue about it, you didn't have to be so ardent. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about these issues, but this, you're wrong, I'm right.
I think a lot of that, Scott, I think a lot of that is on the right in this country, and those that would follow those on the right feel from the bottom of their heart that they're losing the country they knew and grew up with and the country they love. They really feel that the left is moving that they're literally going to lose their country internally, kind of like what Khrushchev said was going to happen and Stalin said was going to happen. I mean, that's their whole game plan, was to work from the inside. And I think that, you know, if you go on the other side of the coin, you go all the way to the left, those are people who think, hey, look, we're moving the country in a direction we feel it should be, and we want to lose that old stuff. So you've got a really hard dividing line, and it's a dividing line that is there out of standing your ground in fear of what you're going to lose. And I don't think in the past we've ever been at a place in this country where that was the play. There was always, as I grew up in school, there was always a coming together in patriotism. There was always a, even though we may disagree politically, everyone basically had the same moral values. They basically had the same hopes and dreams, everything. But we have become so divisive, even in Hollywood. Hollywood was, you know, everybody could sit down and sit back and watch a good movie in the 40s, 50s, even up to the 60s. And it didn't matter where your political persuasion was, that was a great movie. But now, even in our movies that come out, so many of them are written with a political direction. And when those movies, you know, everything out there, it seems, is there to divide us. Another thing that has really caused a lot of division, I believe, is that when we took prayer out of the schools, anyone that believed that it should have stayed, and anyone that believed that you know, this is where our country was founded, who we are, they felt like they were immediately under attack of people trying to destroy our way of life and who we are. So there's that wall building once again. And as all these things progress and happen, as things change, and you know, it's up to you whether you believe it's progressive or regressive, as these things change, people are beginning to stand firm, say you're not moving beyond this point, this is what we believe. I mean, I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about and why people fear so much. Whatever side you are on the gun lobby and where we are with the Second Amendment, there's people that for years grew up and guns are something that they have. They hunt, they fish, they do all those things, and it's part of their life. And a lot of people don't feel they should even have those because they didn't grow up that way and they don't have that same sense of what they should do. But the truth is, with all the gun violence that's going on today, those guns have been around forever. The problem's a societal problem. You know, you and I both know, I mean, if you could take guns away to stop violence, and outlaw guns, then I suppose you could outlaw heroin to stop heroin addiction. We know it doesn't work. As long as there's a desire, you're going to get it.
Well, it's interesting because I want to jump back a second to prayer in school, because that's always been a very interesting thing to me, because the person who drove that and won that, because I think sometimes people listening might not understand the history, might not have been alive when it happened. And it's Madeline Murray O'Hare, right, who was right. was an atheist. Now, it's interesting to me because the country never voted to take prayer out of school. And a matter of fact, Madeline Murray O'Hare's title was the most hated woman in America. And she liked that title. Now, what she did was took a case to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled, and it's also interesting because something else happened about 20 years before this, and I think this is where this ruling came from, but they just ruled you can't force anybody to do it. You can't make it mandatory. You could still pray at school if you want it. You could not.
And it should never be mandatory. It's between you and God.
Right, but that's the only law that was ever made, that you can't, because they used to pray in school. The teacher would say, and now a moment of prayer. All that ruling by Madeline Murray O'Hare did was say you can't do that. If a kid walked in the morning and wanted to start the day by praying, they could. You can pray in a school building. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's legal. But interestingly,
don't be seen doing it.
Well, I don't know. They couldn't do anything to you. They'd have a hard time. But the issue is, in that time, this country, the Democrats if we're talking about progressives and conservatives, they didn't like her.
No one did.
Nobody liked her.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying about when I was growing up, the people could be on different sides of a place, but they came together in certain religion, they came together on.
Absolutely. And I think that's interesting. And the event, just very quickly, that I was talking about that happened 20 years before was the Jehovah's Witness case, where the father told the son, don't do the pledge. Don't bear witness to false idols. That's against our religion. And the school told him he had to do that. And you're unpatriotic. Now, this is going on during World War II. And Kingdom Hall in Kennebunkport, Maine was burned to the ground because you're not patriotic. It's World War II.
And people get very emotional during those times.
And the Supreme Court, again, said, if there's one fixture in our constitutional correlation, is that you have the freedom to practice whatever religion you want, and you listen to your father.
Good decision.
Yeah. And I think that's where the Madeleine Murray, because that happened 20 years before Madeleine Murray. And I think that happened because of that. I think what they didn't want was a Jewish child or...
And honestly, reasonable people have, without making Supreme Court decisions, you know, there's no way in the world that I would ever believe that in any school anywhere that they were going to force a child to say a prayer or something that is completely outside of their belief. We understand freedom of religion here, and we always have.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because all Supreme Court cases, all of them, where we've seen rulings that have changed society, came because there was an instance. And usually in the instance, the person who was the arbiter of it would not back off of it.
Right,
And that was the Madeleine Murray case.
And sometimes they take it beyond, look, if you're going to settle for C, you fight for A. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You take something beyond what it really is because you know you're not going to get 100% C come back. And that's the problem with a lot of these. Maybe something hasn't happened, but by golly, they're going to make sure you think that it was really 10 times worse than it was.
And I think that's the ultimate problem. I think you are right that 99% of people would never make a Jehovah's Witness child or a Jewish child. They would never force them to pray. But it did happen somewhere, and that brought the case. And even when the mother went to the school or father and said, don't do this, they said, no, you're going to do this. And that's what prompts a lawsuit. And that's how you get to the Supreme Court. And that's how it happened. So it's fascinating. I can't believe we're down to 13 minutes. But I did want to do a giveaway today. Because the zoo lights...
We're not giving them much time.
I know, we're not giving... So, by the way, if you answer this question not on the air today, and you answer on Sunday morning when the show replays, or Tuesday night, if you leave the answer, the correct answer, on the answering machine, we will see that you get those tickets. We did that this morning with some entries into our contest coming up on November 13th. So, we do have tickets, a pair of tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights, Wild Lights, which open tonight. What's a good question, Pastor?
How many children did Martin Luther King have?
There you go. How many children did Martin Luther King have? 740-383-9944. How many children did Martin Luther King have? And you have 12 minutes, but remember, Sunday, next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, just leave it on the answering machine, but you do have 12 minutes right now. How many children did Martin Luther King have? 740-383-9944. A pair of tickets to the Columbus Zoo Wild Lights, which start tonight. That's a surefire sign of the season.
Yeah, isn't it? Zoo Lights. You know, I don't. There's hardly a year go by that we don't go. What was really strange was a couple years ago is we went in Florida
Here comes a call.
Here comes a call.
Maybe they didn't need a long time to answer
maybe
that
not.
Question today. Let's see what it is. Go ahead, caller.
He had four.
It's a four?
Four.
He has four kids.
That's the right answer. All right. You have got the answer. What is your name, ma'am?
Heather Dunn.
Heather Dunn? Heather, we'll put you down for this. Do you know where we're located?
Yep.
All right. Enjoying the program this morning?
Absolutely.
I hear it in the background there. Thank you, Heather. Thank you for listening.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
There we go.
Well, there you go.
Look at
that was quick. Boy, I thought that was going to be. But you know what the thing is with these, with a lot of questions, is people just Google them and bang, it's right there.
Well, they do. And also, I'll tell you, we found out during Halloween with candy, it has to be the right prize.
Yes,
it's got to be the right prize.
Well, you know, if you're giving away cans of free spinach, you're not going to get a lot of calls.
No.
You know, back to what we're talking about.
Yes.
I, you know, it's all these things we talk about. And if you guys look back, and even if you want to go back to archives and play some of these shows, and if you come back and you look at what Scott and I are talking about most of the time, and all these things come back to it. A lot of times it comes back to, what do we think about each other? How do we treat one another? Let's all show a little more compassion. It could be so much better of a world. And put first things first.
Put first things first. Absolutely.
And try not to entertain those things that will bring you down and pull you back. And keep you from moving forward. You know, if you spend all of your time in a pig pen, you're going to smell like pigs. That's just the way it is. We raised hogs. I know you can't even go out and feed them without coming in and smelling like pigs. Like my son-in-law, you guys have met John before, Scott.
Yes.
And John, you know, he stopped by the other day and he'd been at the hog barn feeding and he came in. I'm like, man alive. But you know, it's true in our society, in everything we do. If we stay in a negative realm, in a negative area, that's all we're going to talk about. I've got a friend that I've known for years that always is negative, and he lives in that realm.
Well, you know, that's the thing, and I do mean this sincerely when I think of shows like this and I think of the other shows we have on here. I really do hope that these shows are around for 35 years, because the point is not that, let's just get that show out of the way. The point is that we archive everything. Everything that's ever on this station is recorded. And the longer a show runs, after we're all dead and gone, this hard drive will go to the Historical Society. And people of that time will be able to look back on November 16, 2018, about what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping the conversation going, and it's not a knock on any other radio station in town, but they've went to music formats. And music, the Beatles song that's played today will be the Beatles song that's played 100 years from now. The conversation we're having today is not going to be being held 100 years from now. But there will
be some of the principles will.
Principles will, but it'll be different conversations. And I am. That's programs deserve long runs. They really do.
They really do.
And if you do them for a short amount of time, that's good. And I certainly understand the reasoning. But boy, I really sometimes think when people pull these old programs out, because there has never been in Marion, Ohio, oddly enough, because our Historical Society came late. In Marion, an archive of the radio programs. I mean, they have some old reel-to-reels, but I don't think to this day they've ever digitized them. So this will be the first, and that's why these conversations are so important to have.
You know, Scott, something I'd like to close with on my part today. What, we got about 2-3 minutes left?
About 8, actually.
Okay. Well, it won't take that long. My sermon series at the church for the next month is on prayer commands that were given in the Bible. And one of the prayer commands that were given is to pray for kings and rulers and those that are in authority over us. And when you think about that, if you were a person that literally just detested Donald Trump, can you stop and pray for him? If you're a person that really cannot stand Hillary Clinton, are you going to stop and pray for it? And the reason I bring this up is this, is that when you pray for someone, I mean earnestly, and pray for them to, not your agenda either, just pray for them in general, that God would work in their lives, that you know, and pray for them daily, you begin to have a softer feeling towards them personally, even though you may be completely against any policies they do whatsoever. And this is a lot of what we've gotten away from in this country, is caring for the individual regardless of what they are.
You know, it's interesting because when you bring up those two names, they're divisive of this time. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are very divisive in people. And what I came to realize was, even if you don't like their policy, even if you don't like that part of it, you have to like them better than you like Kim Jong-un. You have to like them better than you like Vladimir Putin.
There's some that don't.
Yeah, and that's strange to me. That's unbelievable to me, because even if you despised Hillary Clinton, even if you despise the president, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I'll tell you one area where they agree. They're American citizens. They don't want to see this country go away. They have different ideas of how to run this country, but they will always choose America's side over a foreign entity that wants to do us harm. I guarantee you either one of them would. So that's what I don't understand, is because critique is fine. I don't mind critique. You can critique me. But what I don't understand is the idea that two things. Number one, everything's wrong. And number two, nothing's wrong. Because we're in a time right now where a report probably will be coming back pretty soon from Mr. Mueller. And I really wonder at that time if people will believe it. And if that's sad to me.
And I think a lot of people felt that the investigation into Hillary was really swept under the rug. So those people are never going to believe a negative report about Trump. And people that don't like him are never going to believe a positive report. The point is, we really do need to get to the business of running our country and moving ahead and quit trying to destroy each other from underneath. I mean, you know what? We've got a president for two more years. Let's finish this run. Quit trying to use the entire time. I get tired of hearing congressmen talk about impeach. We're 2 years in. Run through the term. Get it over with. And, you know, it's the same thing, you know, when any other president's in. What I'm trying to get is we desperately need to decide that we're going to care about people and put some of the garbage aside. Let's force negative media to be positive.
Well, that's true, and my feeling on it is we don't know what this report will say. It has been very closed button. We know who's been interviewed. We know what the investigation is about, but we don't know what the outcome is. I don't know if President Trump knew anything. I don't know if there was anything to know. I don't know. But I do know that when it comes out, I hope that people will be able to, if it's a clean bill of health, let's go on. Boom, that's over. Let's not talk about it anymore.
They won't, Scott.
Well, they won't.
Not unless people listen to our program and decide to pay attention to what we're saying.
But on the flip side, I also know that if it's guilty, people will say, that didn't happen. That's made up. They're making it up.
You know why? Because there's been so much dishonesty. Why would anyone believe anything in Washington? Honestly, why would they? Well, on either side of the coin, why would they?
Well, that's the sad thing is I don't understand that. I don't understand. If people are totally distrustful of Washington, wouldn't they have to be distrustful of the people they like? They're part of Washington.
I think they are too, but they just have, it's who sides with how I feel the most.
And that's really sad because, you know, one of the great things that came out of Watergate and that I felt was the Republicans, and Richard Nixon was a Republican, the Republicans are the ones who said, no. Barry Goldwater went and met with him, said, you're not above the law. You've got to go. It wasn't the Democrats who hated Richard Nixon that got him out of office. It was his old friend, Barry Goldwater, who said...
See, that's not the case today. It's not the case with any politician today. I mean, some of the stuff that has been done, you know, on both sides of it, you know, I do know that you know, there's investigations that have been closed for no reason, investigations that have been pushed beyond. And the bottom line is, let's just get back to who we're supposed to be.
Investigations cost money. People better remember that, too.
Regardless of how this comes out, it's not worth 4 years of investigation.
It is not.
It is not. Or the time that we've spent already, and the money and the ridiculousness. I mean, people voted. You know, and whether there were people that tried to influence, they've always influenced elections.
Well,
I mean, look, you know, Barack Obama influenced the Canadian election.
That's true. I think, see, what bothers me is, as a news person, I don't know what's in that report. I don't know. I would like to read it and see exactly what went on. Now, I know people will say, well, that's just made up. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's everybody's opinion. But I will also be the first one to say, if that report comes clean and shows that President Trump knew nothing, good. Let's go on with the making of this country. But I do firmly believe that in this particular instance, that you should not be above the law. I don't think Hillary Clinton should be above the law.
But nobody said anything about that that's pushing the thing on Trump.
Well, you know,
they're saying, let's forget about Hillary. That was already done. They said she was a... I mean, come on.
What's interesting, you know,
it's not fair.
Well, they could... I don't know why... If there is evidence that Hillary Clinton has done something awful, the Justice Department is controlled by Republicans. They could open up a case against her. There's no statute of limitations on anything she's done. I don't know why they're not doing it.
What would happen if they did?
Well, I think a lot of people would be happy.
But what else would happen?
A lot of people would be angry.
And they're trying to calm the situation down in Washington, not make it worse.
It seems to me, and I'm buttoning it in, but it just seems to me that we can't let things rest.
Well, but
we
you know,
stir the pot all the time.
But you know, on a local level, we wouldn't. If we found out, like this Pike County thing that just came back,
you know,
2 years later, nobody would say, don't arrest those people.
No, but what I think that we're talking about, the major issues we're dealing with in this country that are being harnessed because we're beating an investigation to death over whether the president knew that there was... Well, we do know one thing for sure. We know that Hillary was behind that dossier that went forward to get the wiretapping done. That's criminal. And well, no one's doing anything. So why is it so important to find out the truth on Donald Trump, but it's not so important to find out the truth on Hillary? I don't hear that.
Well, and I think it's because he's president. I think
right.
If she was president, they would be after her. I know when she was running for president, they certainly were after her.
Yeah. But the point is, we have so much important stuff to get to. Let's get to it.
But you know,
don't you agree?
I'm agreeing. And you know, I was thinking about this just the other day when we were in here talking about it. It just seems to me we can't put things to rest. It's that we got to be digging and digging and digging. Let's get on with the important things in our country. We know we have a lot of things that we need to be working on. We don't need to be wasting our time on this.
And who's to know if the people that were interviewed even tell the truth? I mean, it's just...
Well, that's... And
we know that it's a cesspool.
Well, that's what the answer will
we're
be.
We're trying to pull the truth out of a cesspool.
Right. But, right. You know, it does remind me, though, of the Pike County thing. Because they banged Mike DeWine hard on that when he was running for governor. Well, now we have an arrest. But nobody comes up and says, well, they've already said they're innocent. The people who have been indicted on this. And they could be. But nobody says, well, let's not investigate that. It was long ago, and the money, we got to move on. People do want to do that.
That's murder.
But it's only in the political area that people want to move on.
Because they're dealing with so much that affects the whole country.
Right.
What happened in Pike County is not going to affect anybody in New York City.
No, but I do believe in the Constitution that nobody's above the law.
I agree.
Even the president.
I agree.
So he would be subject to an investigation just as Hillary would be subject to one. Now, If he has a reason, like I say, there might be nothing in there. He's told us there's nothing in there.
If we open up investigations on everyone that's subject to it in this country, we're going to shut down the government and just do investigations. Because half the people in Washington, Hillary herself said, you bring me down, I'm bringing down half of Washington with me. Now, that tells me that if that's so important, that everyone knows above the law, we need to shut down our whole government and just investigate everybody.
Well, isn't that interesting, though, because that was kind of President Trump's philosophy after the election. He said, Democrats, if you start to investigate me, we're going to investigate you and we'll bring down the country.
Right. So the point is, let's get on with business. Mm-hmm. From this point forward, let's make our standards strong, which they've already been working towards, to make sure these things don't happen. Let's correct the problem, but move forward.
Right. I'll tell you,
we're not going to ever move forward by continuing to stir dirt.
But I'll tell you, it's interesting. Bill Cosby's in prison today for something that happened in 2002.
This is what I think they need to do, frankly. I'm just a little loathy, you know, person here in our country. But it seems to me we spend too much time on this little stuff. We never get off of the ice block. We just keep sliding around on it. We need to put it to bed, forget about it now, and move on.
What an interesting hour this has been.
We never get to even the policies.
No.
Well, we're busy.
Heather Dunn, we want to thank her for winning today.
Hey, Heather, that was great. You were fast.
Yep, thank you for listening. Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett will be on next hour, and we'll do this again next week. It's always fun.
Bye, everyone.
Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m.